Okay.
Okay. Go
let's,
ahead.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to start with phone number ending in 7323, and then on deck will be phone number ending in 1990.
Before we do that, I need to call the meeting to order, which I haven't done.
Well, let's do that.
Yes, if I may. Good morning. Larry Carpenter, State Fish and Wildlife Commission Chair. Welcome, everybody, on Friday, April 10th, 2020, to a virtual Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. Wishing everybody a pleasant Good Friday, and please have a safe and happy Easter. For those that didn't get the email notice, we are not having an executive session today for the commission. That is being postponed. So with that, regarding the public comment period, for those of you that haven't done that, it's only going to be accepted for those related to agenda items designated for public input and during open public input, portions of the agenda for items not on the agenda. Be aware the testimony may be taken out of order. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. A timer will be
indicated
that your 3 minutes are up. Please wrap up your immediate sentence and move on. And we've got quite a few people today, so we look forward to hearing as much as we can from everyone. We are going to go ahead and allow an hour for the open public input period, where originally we had 30 minutes. We don't want to exclude anyone. So with that, take it away, Tess.
Fantastic. All right, so I'm going to move over to our caller with phone ending in 7323. And please state your name.
Yes, this is Frank Urbeck. I'm representing sport fishing stakeholders at Fish Baker Lake for sockeye. The popular recreational adult sockeye fisheries have occurred in this beautiful Mount Baker setting since 2010, 4 years after the last sport caught sockeye was taken from Lake Washington. I appreciate very much the action by the commission at the December 14th, 2019 Bellingham meeting in response to demands from anglers that expressed outrage over the gross sockeye harvest inequity of the last seven seasons. There was 29,000 cumulative imbalance over the seven-year period favoring the tribes, with a 5,300 fish disparity in 2019. In response, the commission asked Ron Warren and Director Kelly Susswind to commit to discuss with the Skagit River Basin tribes various options for righting the imbalance for the 2020 fishery. Stakeholders had provided those options. It was my understanding from a number of follow-up discussions with Ron, this would be done. Reportedly, a brief conversation occurred in Vancouver, BC, but no substantive talks as had been promised. Consequently, nothing has changed. The 2020 preseason forecast, lowest in a decade, is 13,236 fish, along for a total harvest of only about 2,800 after broodstock and conservation requirements are met. My understanding is that the department and some of the tribes favor no fishing by anyone given the uncertainty of the forecast and limited ability to manage some of the fisheries. I can reluctantly accept this position going into the season in spite of the fact that only surplus sockeye would be released into Baker Lake. Therefore, the sport fishery could be fully controlled. I do ask that the commission encourage the department to consider an in-season management change that would allow a very limited Baker Lake sport fishery if indeed there are surplus sockeye taken at the concrete trap that could be released into the lake. This would be an appreciated token adjustment for the long-term inequity. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions for Mr. Urbeck before we move on? Hearing none. Thank you. Okay, Tess, would you make sure, too, that the folks calling in announce their name as Frank did so we have that for the record?
Absolutely. So the next person up to speak is on a phone number ending in 1990. So do go ahead and introduce yourself. Ken Miller, you're on deck.
Hello, this is Rob Cavanaugh, and I'm calling to ask for your support on six different issues. The first issue, I would like to ask you to join with us in our appeal of the Department of Ecology a permit to spray Amazamox on the eelgrasses of Willapa Bay. The second issue is, I would like you to stop shooting bandtail pigeons as you propose in WAC 220-416-060. Third issue, I ask that you do not allow the shooting of magpies and crows. Instead, use integrated pest control management, nets, and acetylene guns. The fourth issue is, I've asked you to use ethical conduct when setting deer seasons. We have a situation in Klickitat County, where I spend a lot of time, and Yakima County, where we've had large-scale deer die-offs from disease, and the agency has gone ahead and, with no deer present, according to your own biologist, allowed the hunters unknowingly to come and try and hunt. This is not ethical. The state of Oregon had the same situation, and they did not do what Washington has done. Instead, they notified the hunters. All the white-tailed deer down here died, and so there would be no hunting season of white-tailed deer in northern Oregon. The fifth issue is, please use good science, not emotions, in your cougar control. You do not seem to understand that killing these adult male cougars causes disruption of the social society of cougars and makes it much more dangerous with these young male cougars roaming around. I was attacked by a young male cougar 3 years ago in Klickitat County, and I shot it. The sixth issue is, make it easier to get public records at Department of Wildlife. Use transparency in government policy. I have six letters back from the department. I do not know what the subject is, and I have not been able to get a single letter of a daily or a weekly report from your archaeologist. So those are the issues I'm concerned about. Do you have any questions?
No question. Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh. Your comments are so noted.
All right. Ken Miller, you're next, and Bob McCoy, you're on deck. And Ken, it looks like you may be kind of doubly muted. I've got you unmuted on my end here, but wondering if on your computer you've got an additional.
Is that better?
That's much better. I can hear you clearly.
Good morning, Chairman Carpenter and members of the commission. I'm Ken Miller, small forest landowner. I've testified before the commission numerous times over the years about the bear depredation program for timber damage. Hopefully you've had a chance to read some of the written testimony from myself and Howard Wilson. Smalls are essential to the habitat, and one-size-fits-all rules just simply don't work for smalls for legitimate reasons. In the short time today, I just want to touch on three things, the good, the bad, and hopeful. The good, the department finally, yesterday, issued the 2020 rules late, but for the season that usually starts about next week. The bad, it's correctly titled Notice to the Industry. It's almost entirely about hound hunting. For small forest landowners, can't use hound hunting very often. I was one of the rare ones that could. It retains at least one discriminatory condition against smalls. The lawsuit was largely about hound hunting. The new rules are about hound hunting. 2 to 3 years of collaboration with the department in 2015, 16, and 17 that had win-win options for small landowners are gone. Hopeful. Buried in the fine print of the aptly titled Notice to Industry It implies that the department will actually work with small forest landowners on a case-by-case basis. I'm very hopeful for this. If we use the best professional management options in the field by the experts in the field, we hope that this will generate some good win-wins. And the final point is there's also talks about plans to restart the stakeholder process. We've done that. We've spent many years. I've made several presentations to WDFW. It needs to start where we left off the last time we were doing these negotiations and discussions and collaborations with the 2017 rules. There are lots of win-win opportunities. WFFA, who I'm a member of and represent, are very eager to help find these win-wins, to help landowners, help the habitat, help the critters, and I think we'll even in the long term help those that care an awful lot about animals. So I'd love to take any questions. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Miller? Hearing none. Ken, always a pleasure to hear your comments. Thank you. Look forward to hearing more. Okay, Tess, next.
All right. Bob McCoy, you are up next, and Deborah Chase, you're on deck. And Bob, do go ahead and look for that little mute button on your computer as well. I've got you. There you go.
Good morning. I'm Bob McCoy, chair of the Mountain Lion Foundation, a national nonprofit organization and the resident of Washington for 58 years. I want to offer sound science and clear direction on the topic of cougar management. I believe we are all asking for the same thing, but we seem to see different methods. We want to reduce the conflicts between humans and cougars while maintaining a healthy cougar population. What should matter is to reduce human conflicts, not to increase hunter opportunity. It is our belief that a successful program keeps the hunting quotas as they are because increasing them can bring increased conflicts for citizens in cougar country. The scientific data developed over decades clearly addresses this issue by recommending decreased cougar hunting to protect humans and livestock. Much of the scientific data was produced in Washington State using $9 million of taxpayers' money, and it clearly tells us one thing. There will be more conflicts, more depredations, and potentially more attacks on humans if WDFW rejects the science and increases cougar hunting. Studies from other states in British Columbia replicate these findings. Failure to remain below biologists' guidelines leads to increased conflicts. We can't shoot our way out of a problem caused by too much shooting. To keep citizens and property safe from cougars, the department should use best science in order to reap the benefits of a stable cougar population. Recently published peer-reviewed studies that apply to this conversation. Andre, 2020, research suggests that sports hunting actually exacerbates conflicts between pumas and humans. We recommend that state agencies reassess the use of sports hunting as a management tool for pumas. Teichman, 2016, accounting for human density and habitat productivity, human hunting pressure during or before the year of conflict comprise the most important variables. Both were associated with increased male cougar-human conflict. Peebles, 2013. Contrary to expectations, we found that complaints and depredations were most strongly associated with cougars harvested the previous year. The odds of increased complaints and livestock depredations increased dramatically by 36 to 240% with increased cougar harvest. Lambert, 2016. Indeed, increased complaints may accompany a rapidly declining population, as shown here. Furthermore, increased hunting could actually result in increased cougar complaints because of the younger age structure of the cougar population and the higher proclivity of young animals to encounter humans and cause complaints. Do the right thing for the safety of citizens. Enforce the existing guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCoy. Any questions of Bob McCoy? Hearing none, thank you. Next test.
Great, and I want to do a quick announcement because we have had some folks who have recently joined our line. We are using the raise hand feature to take public comment this morning. So if you've joined via your computer, please go ahead and look for that raise hand icon. Or if you're on the phone, do click star 9. We are using the question and answer area to be specifically technical questions, like if somebody's audio got cut off or when we have slides further. So I do know it looks like we have one person who has thrown some questions in the question answer, and I would encourage you to go ahead and raise your hand if you want to say something, and we're just working through people one by one. So I'm going to go ahead to Deborah Chase, and I've got Dan Paul on deck. And Deborah, do go ahead. Perfect.
Good morning, commissioners and WDFW staff. My name is Deborah Chase, and I'm the CEO of the Mountain Lion Foundation. I want to take a deep breath here, and I want to enter into this conversation as someone that's pretty familiar with the passion and the importance of the subject. I work with over 13 states that have cougar populations, and I can tell you that of the states that keep increasing their cougar hunts, they are the ones with the most conflicts, hands down. So let's all take a moment and go back in time to when our early settlers pushed for the extermination of the cougar. Those folks, along with the misguided conservationists of the time, also believed that the cougar was to blame for the lack of elk and deer populations. We now have decades of sound science to show that those early settlers were wrong. We know that cougars are capable of regulating their own numbers. Cougars and deer have co-evolved over thousands of years. As deer numbers decline, so naturally do cougars. As deer numbers grow, so do cougars. This dynamic has existed and functioned long before humans intervened. I know it's counterintuitive to you folks, but the science is pretty clear. Hunting more cougars increases conflicts and decreases deer and elk populations. The more researchers began to learn about these cats, the more they realized that cougars did not view humans as prey, that conflicts are exacerbated by overhunting, that killing cougars to benefit game species like the deer were not effective, and that perhaps most importantly, cougar livestock conflicts could be prevented by implementing and properly using predator-proof enclosures and other deterrents, such as range riders and protector dogs. You said it yourself yesterday, there are more cougars being seen and less deer. That follows the increase in hunting tags that you're issuing. When you couple that with law enforcement also killing cougars, you've got a real situation brewing up there. Something to consider is that older cats tend to hunt elk while the younger cats favor the easier to manage deer. If you continue to hunt older males as suggested in options 3 and 4 at a maximum hunt rate, thinking it is protecting deer, it's going to backfire on you because you're selecting cats that specialize in hunting deer. Without senior cats, territory will be open for younger ones to move into. The younger ones won't have the opportunity to learn to hunt their natural prey or to stay away from human areas. They will move in looking for food without that elder guidance. Again, increasing the problems. The science shows us option 4 could lead to more public safety problems. Keeping the status quo or at minimum choosing option 1 will save everyone a boatload of grief and will probably save lives. I know how hard it is to let go of old belief systems, but don't you think it's time to retire that old way of predator management? That kill as many as you can mentality that will just cause more damage? We sure do. We also ask that the Mountain Lion Foundation be at the table during any upcoming cougar study as an independent body offering input. We really can help. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Deborah. Any questions of Mrs. Chase? Hearing none. Question of either Tess or Nikki. The 3-minute buzzer, I don't know if it's gone off, but I'm not hearing.
It just went off for the first time with Deborah, but it was a little bit quiet, so Melissa's going to try and get that a little closer to her mic.
Okay. Next person, please.
All right, next we've got Dan Paul, and then we've got a phone number ending in 3579 who's going to be on deck.
All right. Good morning, Chair Carpenter and members of the commission. My name is Dan Paul, and I'm the Washington Senior State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. On behalf of the HSCOS and our supporters in Washington, I strongly oppose all four of the proposals the commission is considering to expand the recreational hunting of cougars in our state. I have submitted multiple comment letters in opposition to these proposals, which we know are not supported by the majority of Washingtonians. We did a telephone poll and submitted that result to the commission as well last week. And these proposals will not serve as any long-term solutions to mitigate conflicts of cougars. In fact, Washington's own research shows that these proposals could develop increased conflicts and undercut the efforts currently underway to develop sound solutions. On behalf of the HSCOS, I've served in DFW stakeholder groups with discussions to find solutions for cougars for conflicts with cougars. One solution that's already underway is the Hound Handler Training Program. Another discussion centered on unregulated feeding of ungulates, which attract cougars to move closer into communities, has been bandied about. For years, we have been willing to sit with the department, with county commissioners, ranchers, hunters, houndsmen, any stakeholder out there to participate and find creative and collaborative actions that our state can take to reduce conflicts and better coexist with cougars. We have exceptional state-funded, state-specific cougar research that we should be leaning on, which shows that increased hunting will destabilize the cougar population and lead to increased conflict. So for you to approve any of these four, it divides our state further. It undercuts any future stakeholder process and puts the trust in the agency, which they've worked so hard to build up, in jeopardy with those of us who have participated with good faith in finding shared solutions. Instead of approving one of these four proposals to increase recreational hunting of cougars, we implore the commission to direct the department to conduct more research on cougar conflicts and build upon the science we currently have and depend upon to learn why certain regions have more conflict and to see if and why the densities of cougars is higher in some areas and lower in others. We ask that you reject these proposals and any others that will increase the recreational hunting of cougars in Washington, and let's allow the Hound Handler Program to get off the ground and see how that works, and also fund science and outreach to help address citizen concerns. Thank you so much for the opportunity this morning.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions of Dan? Hearing none. Thank you. Next commenter.
All right. We've got a phone number ending in 3579 is going to be going next. And then on deck, we've got a phone number ending in 4523. And please state your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Kelly Bush. Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
Okay. Kelly Bush, Rockport, Washington. My comment concerns the commission's consideration to increase cougar hunting. My message is to ask, please do not increase the trophy hunting limits on cougars in Washington State. I'm a rural resident of Skagit County for over 30 years. I am a wildlife enthusiast, and therefore I am for the protection and not the trophy hunting of these non-food wildlife. Please do not select any of the four alternatives or make any changes if it increases the number of cougars that will be hunted. While I have a wildlife sciences degree from ages ago and a 30-year land management career behind me in the North Cascades, I make these comments from my citizen interest to protect wildlife in this state. But more importantly, from what the science recently shows, that increased hunting results in increased human and cougar problems. Many of these studies have already been cited this morning, but I'll mention the Washington State University study by Robert Wilgus and other academics that advocated for not increasing cougar hunts, and in fact cites that the 2013 WDFW adopted the current plan based on this study's findings and recommendations. Please do not increase cougar hunting in any way. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly, for your comments. Any questions? Hearing none, next commenter, please.
All right, I've got a person called in on a phone number ending in 4523, and then Perry Menchaca, you're up next.
Good morning, Commission. Chair Carpenter and Commission and Deck Director Suisse, Greg King here. I'm not going to be talking about cougars this morning. I want to talk a little bit about the two policies we have in place, Columbia River policy and Willapaw policy. And I'll start with Willapaw policy. I think I asked one of the last times I talked about pound nets and where we are at on pound nets on the Columbia River. And I didn't get any, maybe I did get some information back on that, but I never looked at it or never saw it or missed it. Sports are not happy with pound nets. They only pass wild fish above, and that's not a good thing for sports fishing. We just want to know, we want some clarification from the commission on pound nets and staff. Staff has done a great review of the Columbia River policy. Kudos to staff. It shows in that report that Columbia River policy isn't working for anybody. Commercials aren't getting one more fish in their box, and we're not getting more one more day as wrecks on the water. Those are my concerns with the policy and just both these policies. I think we need to stop kicking the can down the road. I mean, that's what it feels like we're doing, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic or what's the words I want to use. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that. I just think we need to move on these policies. Willapaw Bay, I'll move on to Willapaw Bay. We know we've been struggling with Willapaw Bay since the conception of the policy. Even the sports advisors realize, some of them, that this policy just isn't working for us. And the thing about that gets us all is we have no tribal influence there. It's just sports and the state and the commercials. And this could be such a great fishery for us. And it's another thing that we just seem to kick the can down the road. And we need some guidance. We need to get these policies taken care of. You know, just an update on the pound nets and where we are at with these policies and what's going on. Let's get these things taken care of. You know, a lot of people think we should just start over on them, and I feel that way too. We should just, you know, can the policies that we have and let's start over and write them and get all the user groups in there to sit at the table and discuss these policies and get good policies. I mean, they're not saying that the whole thing's all bad, but it's just they're not working. So anyway, that's my comments today. Thank you.
Greg, thanks for calling in. Any questions of Greg? Okay, thank you. Moving on to Tess.
Great. And we've got Perry up next, followed by a phone number ending in 5985. And again, we do have a few more folks that have joined the line. If you were hoping to say something during public input this morning, please raise your hand using the raised hand icon if you've joined via the computer, or *9 on your phones. All right, Perry, go ahead. And Perry, you will want to look on your computer as well for the unmute option in the lower left.
There we go. How's that?
Perfect.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Are you able to hear me now clearly?
Yes.
Perfect. Chair Carpenter, over four long years ago, you told the citizens of this state that you fully support open meetings and transparency in the fisheries. Additionally, you promised to do everything in your power to end the prohibition that is blinding the public and which the state's Open Public Meeting Act demands. Yet, here we are at the end of yet another North of Falcon process, and the public is still met with locked doors and secret deals. We still have no solution to the permitting issue that allows for leverage to gain advantage over WDFW and prevents a fair and equal share of the resources, as is the law under the Bolt Agreement. We've recently heard the department use words transparency and public participation. much like someone would use a paper plate at a picnic. Useful at the moment, but easily discarded. Repeating the words over and over again does not make them real. The public is smarter than that. You profess a dedication to open government, yet you allow hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to be wasted fighting transparency in the courts. When pressed, you throw your hands up in the air and say, "We're helpless to do anything about it." But your facade of helplessness is just a mask for your culpability in the continuation of this miscarriage of public trust. For four long years, and no one has provided a sound justification for why it is essential to make harvest-sharing decisions in secret. So, Chair Carpenter, please tell the hundreds of thousands of stakeholders who is ultimately responsible for this public prohibition. Who do we turn to end the culture of secrecy? If not you, who? Thank you.
Thank you, Perry. Any questions of Perry? Hearing none, moving on. Next, Tess.
Great. I've got a phone number ending in 5985, and then Robert Kinder, we've got you on deck.
Good morning, Commission, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Cindy Neff, and I would like to comment on the department's cougar proposals. I'm a native resident of Washington and do not want to see any increase in the recreational cougar hunt. I recognize there is always public safety and property damage threats with cougars, but WDFW already has a way to deal with those legitimate issues. Keeping a stable cougar population is the most effective way to keep cougars from becoming a risk to humans, pets, and livestock. Thank you for taking my comments this morning.
Thank you for your comments, Cindy. Any questions of Cindy? Hearing none, thank you. Tess, next commenter, please.
All right, Robert Kinder, you're next, followed by Chris Bachman. And Robert, make sure to look for that microphone on the bottom left on your computer.
Good morning, everyone. My question is, when can we expect the recreational clam season to reopen? And as far as access to private lands, from what I understand, as a state, we offer tax incentives to private corporations who charge fees for access to their lands. And I'm wondering if there's any way that we can get them to open those lands up to all the recreational hunters.
Robert, does that conclude your comments?
Yes, sir, it does.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Robert? Hearing none, thank you very much. Tess, next, please.
All right. Chris, we've got you next, followed by Heath. And just one more note, if you do want to provide public input and you joined this meeting a little bit later, if you're on the phone, press *9 to raise your hand and we will call on you. Or if you have joined via your computer, please look for that raise hand icon. Chris, go ahead. And
thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, Chair Carpenter and Commissioners. My name is Chris Bachman. I'm the Wildlife Program Director at the Spokane-based Lands Council. Like the Humane Society and others, we oppose all four options proposed and support no cougar hunting and certainly no increase in cougar hunting until the current population of cougars in Washington State is known. Increasing harvest when the population is unknown has no scientific basis. The perceived danger from cougars is outweighing the evidence and the science. wildlife management should be based in science, not in politics or perception. It's time we recognize the valuable ecological role predators play in ecosystems and stop overplaying their threats to human safety and livestock and their competition for wild ungulates. We do understand there will be occasion for public safety removal of cougars. And there's a new study by John Landre, the elephant in the room, what we can learn from California regarding the use of sport hunting for cougars. The study shows no significant distance between states that allow cougar hunting and California, which does not allow cougar hunting, in human conflict, livestock conflict, et cetera. Appreciate the opportunity to comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for your comments. Any questions of Chris? Hearing none. Tess, next.
Sure. Heath, you're up next. And then Marie, you're on deck.
Good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, happy Good Friday to you all, the times that we're living in. I hope you're all safe. It's in vogue to be a public health official these days, Commissioner Thorburn. So thank you to you all for the opportunity to comment. I'm going to just mention what is unfolding right now at North of Falcon and really encourage you guys to be looking into that now. And then once the final agreement is struck, I'm going to focus my comments on Puget Sound. I think many of you are aware that the sport fishing community, CCA, Northwest Marine Trade Association, have raised a lot of concerns about the change to put an exploitation rate limit on marked hatchery still Aguamish Chinook. And we have said we think this is going to have debilitating impacts on marked selective fisheries throughout Puget Sound. We were told here in the last several months that modeling from the department, they thought they could manage through it. What we are hearing, and the deal is not struck, but what we are hearing, it could be devastating to recreational fisheries in Puget Sound. The complete loss of the winter blackmouth fishery is being talked about in the entire north of Puget Sound. Right now, there are talks about further reductions in sport fisheries. I want to make it very clear that, and we'll look at the information after it's over, that this is not going to have conservation benefits to increase escapements of wild and hatchery still Aguamish Chinook, and that what it will actually do is just simply result in more shifting the imbalance that already exists in harvest sharing between state and tribal even further. So I would encourage you to really look after this agreement struck and look at what conservation benefit did it have in terms of getting more Chinook to the still Aguamish, hatchery and wild for that matter. And what did it actually do on, out there on the water to the fisheries? So thank you for the opportunity to comment. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Heath, for your comments. Any questions of Heath? Hearing none. Next, Tess.
All right. Marie, you are next. And at this point, we have no others with their hand raised. If you had been wanting to make public comment but had just joined, it is *9 if you are on your phone, or look for that hand raise icon. So thank you, Marie. Go ahead.
Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity to speak. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. My name is Marie Neumiller, and I am the executive director for the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Our representatives have reached out to the commission in writing several times regarding the Antler Point requirements. Unfortunately, due to the statewide closure of gatherings on March 13th, we were unable to attend the commission meeting to discuss this issue as we were forced to begin the long and arduous process of shutting down the Bighorn Show. The opinion of the Wildlife Council has not changed since our first correspondence with you. We oppose adding antler restrictions as data provided by Fish and Game does not indicate there is a biological or conservation need to initiate antler restrictions. We favor the any buck rule in northeastern Washington, which provides more sustainable hunting opportunities for our members and their families, as well as the participants in our Americans with Disabilities Access Program. In regards to cougars, the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council believes in science-based conservation and wildlife management. We urge the commission to look closely at the numbers in eastern Washington area. We cannot use statewide hunting regulations and season end dates to control cougars. Our numbers need to be geared towards each area, as cougar populations are not proportionate throughout the state. Through a cooperative effort between fish and game scientists and the hunting community, we can work to effectively manage cougar populations and reduce their conflicts. We have worked with the commission for many years, representing a group of over 500 members. Myself, our representatives, and our members will continue to provide both written and public content to the commission. Thank you for your time and careful consideration.
Thank you, Marie, for your comments. Any questions of Marie? Hearing none. Tess, does that wrap up?
We have three more folks, and then we'll be wrapped up.
Thank you.
So we have a phone number ending in 9857. Go ahead and talk.
Yeah, this is Gary Kohler. I'd like to make comments on the cougar harvest options. I retired from the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife as the wildlife research scientist for carnivore investigations in 2011. I conducted research on black bears, lynx, and cougars during this time. I co-authored many of the publications that and was principal investigator for much of the cougar work that has been published in the state. You know, we've been here before, 25 years ago, following the 1996 Citizen Initiative to ban use of hounds to hunt cougars and bears and bobcats. In response to that, WDFW was concerned that cougar numbers would explode or dramatically increase without the effective use of hounds. And so they addressed this concern by, after the ban was in place, to increase harvest quotas for cougars, to increase season length for harvest, to reduce harvest tag fees, to encourage hunter effort to prevent this hypothetical increase in cougar numbers and accompanying compliance. Washington at that time had no significant understanding of cougars in the state. Numbers, density, distribution, how they mingle in increasingly developed rural landscapes. So Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife began to help sponsor university efforts and conducted their own research, much of what I was lead to. That design included replicate and long-term research, hallmarks of rigorous scientific investigation, with five replicate study areas in various habitats and geographic regions in Washington. All of this was conducted over a 16-year period of field investigations. Results show similar densities of cougars throughout these five areas. For animals 18 months old or greater and resident adults, calculations of cougar density was 1.5 to 2.8 cougars per 100 square kilometers. 100 square kilometers is about 40 square miles, or a little larger than a township. This information was made available and is available to WDFW. These findings are currently in preparations. The recent estimates and comparative studies of cougar numbers in the five areas is being prepared for publication at this time. These estimates do not represent or anything close to four cougars per 100 square kilometers as presented by some in the department. Estimates may approach four cougars per 100 square
kilometers. That's your three-minute mark, Gary.
Okay. Can you go ahead and wrap up, please, Gary?
Okay. When including kittens, the research has shown in an area northeast where cougar hunters or where cougar harvest has been 24%, similar densities to central Washington where there was 11%. So these two areas had a very similar harvest or density. This density was different in the fact that the Northeast was comprised mainly of young age cougars that have been immigrated into the area to establish home ranges. And
These are, whenever you harvest a cougar or over-harvest area, you're creating a large dense of vacancy, a population sink attractive to dispersal-aged animals. This is likely what's happening and what is being seen currently in the Northeast now, and probably explains the presumed or assumed high density of cougars.
Gary, could we wrap up and see if there's any questions from the commission members?
Yeah, I'll finish right now. We'll take questions at this time.
First of all, thank you very much for calling in and your comments. Any questions from the commission? Okay, Gary, thank you very much. Tess, next?
You bet. Thank you.
Yes. So we have a phone number ending in 4004. So go ahead and introduce yourself. And then Matt Simonson, you will be our last person today with public comment.
Good morning, commissioners. This is Sophia Ressler with Center for Biological Diversity, and thankfully I finally got that star 9 to work, so I appreciate you hearing my testimony. I'm here just to really reiterate what many people have already said and to ask that the department keep the current harvest quotas for cougars and work to enforce and enhance management activities using the rules as they already exist. And that is based on, you know, the science that has been around, the science that just recently came out only 2 months ago, which many have already cited to, that shows that sport hunting of cougars really does not give us the management results that that are expected, and also the department's current harvest quota that's set at 12 to 16% is supported by on-the-ground research, it's supported by the department's own biologists, and it's chosen to preserve the social structure and maintain the ecological function of the cougar population. I fear that if the department adopts any of the choices that are in, or sorry, if the commission adopts any of the choices that are in front of them today, that we actually are going to exacerbate the problem that the commission is trying to solve. And so I implore the commission to not choose any of those four options in front of them and keep the current harvest quotas and work on enforcing and enhancing those management activities within the harvest quotas as they exist right now. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, Sophia. Any questions of Sophia? Hearing none. Tess, last, or I guess, do we have one or two more now?
It looks like we've got two more. So we've got Matt now and Fred Kuntz next.
All right. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Matt.
Perfect. So my name is Matt Simonson. I am a resident of the state of Washington. I would very much like to thank the commission for this early Friday call during this time of uncertainty, as well as I'd like to thank Gary for all the scientific fact that he presented. You know, very fact-based, and I appreciate it. It was not subjective. Overall, coming out and saying it, I am in favor of increasing harvest quotas. However, I'm not going to belabor that point. I think that I want to stick with just thanking the commission as well as anyone who has called in for being involved in this state. WDFW has, it's a very contentious relationship with the people of this state, and I just want to commend everyone who has been involved in the process, whether I agree or not, as I look at this conference. It's cool seeing everyone from all the different walks of life sitting in, whether it's a fake backdrop or real backdrop. I think it's just commendable that, dollar involved in, you know, being president. So the one question I did have very quickly here was whether, and this was to Bob McCoy and Deborah Chase, was do you have any specific metrics that identify the conflicts separately between the depredation of livestock and human conflict? The small percentage of conflicts with humans does not seem to support the overall assumption of conflict. And then finally, my last question was, you know, predator management. Are we saying that we just don't manage population? You know, is just not hunting? Is that going to be the solution that we need? But overall, just want to thank everyone for being involved. Whether we agree or not, I think it's important that that everyone's at the table. So thank you all.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions of Matt? Hearing none. Tess, you have one more, I guess?
Yes. All right. Fred Kuntz, why don't you go ahead and make sure to look for that unmute button on the left. Yep.
Good morning, commissioners and everyone. I just had a general comment. You know, as I sat here this morning and watched all your faces on the little Zoom windows, I couldn't help but think about the pandemic and what brought us here, and whether we can learn anything from the pandemic that would guide the commission and guide all of us moving forward in the matters of the environment. You know, the pandemic, it didn't have to happen. It was human caused. It's not some natural event. It was caused because over the last 20 years or more, there was a failure, a reluctance to listen to experts. Experts like Gary Kohler, who you just heard from. A failure to improve communication among agencies. Our four natural resource agencies, they get less than 2% of the state budget, and despite their hard work, they're not working in any kind of real coordinated plan for the ultimate purpose of what we're here to do, and that's to build a future sustainable environment for our children. Over and over again, the pandemic and all these environmental problems, they're ultimately caused by prioritizing always the short-term economic growth over long-term health. And we keep missing opportunities to make changes. These failures in Olympia and among really all of us, how many disasters like the pandemic are going to have to happen before our leaders, before our politicians, before the legislature, before they decide that enough is enough? Our children's future is at stake. We have to make changes. You know, now's the time. No more Band-Aids. Bold best steps are required. Courage among you, the commissioners, among our leaders has to be made. Yeah, you know, everybody knows that Fish and Wildlife and the natural resource agencies, you know, the first step is to increase the spending. You don't have enough resources. I appreciate and know how hard all the staff are working. But, you know, simultaneously with that has to become a true realigning of missions and work plans. You know, it's got to be less about managing recreation and consumption and more about conserving biodiversities and ecosystems, and including, of course, protecting the non-living components like air and water. You know, this won't be easy or cheap. Everybody has to sacrifice. One good thing of the pandemic is seeing how much people do want to work together and how much we can stop all the politicizing and polarization when it comes to survival. That's what we're talking about here. This won't be easy. But, you know, get over it. And ironically, who would have thought that the pandemic might be our children's best hope of the future if only the adults would realize what were really priorities, have some courage, and listen to the experts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kuntz. Appreciate your comments. Any questions from the commission? Hearing none. Okay, Tess, does that wrap up the open public input section?
I believe it does.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much to all the individuals that took the time to call in and participate. We will